Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel. So commenting on the Ukrainian attack on the Russian forces in Makivka. There's a Russian forces illegally occupying a town in Ukraine. And just a few days ago, the Ukrainians launched a devastating HIMAR missile attack. Now I've heard that it's only 4 missiles hit them. I've heard that it's 25 missiles hit the Russians. I don't know what is true. But what do both sides agree on? That there were significant Russian casualties. The Russians initially reported 63 deaths. They now say the death toll's risen to 85 because they've dug some more corpses out of the rubble. And indeed, some of the wounded have succumbed to their injuries in hospital in the last few days. So obviously, they deserve human sympathy, as anybody does. I do feel compassion for the Russians who have been killed in this war. I don't want to be gloating over the deaths of people as such. Some of them might be pleasant people. I might like them. But obviously, you know, the first principle of war is to kill the enemy. War cannot be fought without deaths. Obviously, I blame Vladimir Putin for starting this illegal war of aggression, without which nobody would have been killed on either side. And all the deaths could end today if Russia simply has stopped this illegal occupation of Ukraine and withdrew. They wouldn't have to give up a millimeter of their own territory. They wouldn't have to necessarily pay a penny in compensation or reduce their own arsenal by one bullet or anything like that. Now, it'd be good if they did all those things. But anyway, the blame lies solely and squarely on the shoulders of the Putin regime. So there's been a lot of scrambling to explain this away in Russia, and it shows you just what an effective attack it was by the Ukrainians that the Russians have admitted to such a significant loss of life. It's the largest single loss of life in an incident that the Russian military suffered, I mean, since the Soviet period. Of course, back then it was the Soviet army, not the Russian army. I don't know if there was a single incident in Afghanistan in the 1980s when they suffered so many deaths. You might have to go all the way back to the Second World War. I know they're fighting in Chechnya in the 90s and into the noughties and in Syria in more recent years. But I don't think there was an incident where I seen one missile strike or whatever when so many people were killed all at once. Anyway, so because that is the grim reality that the war is not going to end until Russia suffers very severely, or if possibly the Ukraine does. So there are a lot of pro-Putin bloggers out there and said that the death toll is hundreds. The Ukrainians claim it's 400. Now, I'm bored rigid of quoting that a renowned British journalist, Irishman, William Howard Russell, the father of war correspondents, who said the first casualty of war is truth. And he wrote that in a war when the United Kingdom was battling Russia, notably in the Crimea. So I would guess the death toll is somewhere between the two. If the Russians say, I think it's 85, the Ukrainians say 400, let's say it's about 200. And maybe the other remaining 200 might be injured or something like that. So the Russians made many, many mistakes. They housed soldiers in a building that also stored munitions. Duh. I've never been a soldier for a single day. Even I would realize that's an imbecilic idea, because you get two for the price of one. You get to kill the enemy troops and you get to blow up the ammunition dump. And obviously, having hit the munitions, it's going to be blown sky high. It will magnify the explosion many fold. So it was a really schoolboy error. And the other thing is, the Russians have said it's because they're using their mobile phones, which is how the Ukrainians were able to realize there were so many men located in one place, and possibly some women too. And so the Russian officers were not enforcing their own rule against having mobile phones in the field, which is there for a very good reason. And the Ukrainians say that's how they located them. Now, that may well be disinformation, because the Ukrainians, why would you give away how you did it? Because then the Russians might finally learn this very painful lesson and actually enforce their own rule against carrying phones on campaign. Because it might have been something like the United States satellite pinpointed them for the Ukrainians and helped them with targeting. I don't know. But Washington, D.C. has strenuously denied assisting the Ukrainians with targeting because they don't want to make it more likely the Russians do something against them. They want to say, no, this is Ukraine fighting Russia. Yeah, we're arming the Ukrainians, but we're not actually helping them with targeting, because Putin's always trying to represent this as a war against NATO. If it is a war against NATO, come on. Well, I really don't want a third world war. So why is he not attacking NATO directly? Because he knows if he can't even defeat Ukraine, what chances does he have against NATO? Ukraine with 40 million people, he can't defeat them. How about with NATO with 800 million? How's he going to defeat NATO? So that's why nuclear weapons is a great equalizer. You know, as even he himself says, you can't win a nuclear war. Like Khrushchev said, you're going to have to win it by not starting in the first place. Because we talk about a Pyrrhic victory. What kind of victory would it be if tens of millions of your people are killed? No, thank you. So it's not worth it. Anyway, so there's obviously public anger about this, and there have been public displays of mourning and so on, and some of the pro-Kremlin bloggers have lacerated the top brass, saying that there is lassitude and there's incompetence. The non-enforcement of orders led to this huge loss of life. Your soldiers don't like their mobiles taken away. Tough. This is to save your lives. Anyway, so that was at Makivka in eastern Ukraine. It's rare that Russia's admitted to so many losses. So obviously, the losses are very likely considerably higher than they will actually expect. So Rybar is, as in fisherman, he's a renowned pro-war blogger on Telegram, and he said it was criminally naive for the army to keep munitions in a building where soldiers were sleeping. So these were all detonated. So it shows that their incompetence, and how they're going to explain this away. And there were obviously quite the major Russian missile attacks after this in vengeance, but they do those anyway. But the thing is, before this, there have been 2 days when there were no missile attacks in Kyiv at all. And a day before that, I think it was New Year's Eve, the Ukrainians claimed to have shot down every single one of the Russian drones, usually Iranian manufactured, used against Kyiv. I don't know if that's true, proving that it seems that Russia is really running low on these things. That's why it's forced to buy Iranian drones in the first place back in November last year. So they can't keep up pummeling the Ukrainian electric grid forever. Fortunately, within 2 months, the weather will be milder. At the moment, being without heating could kill you. By March, it will be very uncomfortable, but it's not going to be deadly. And there are other things Ukrainians can do. I mean, obviously, they can be provided with these absolute zero suits. You can sleep outside in minus 50. Those are very expensive, very heavy, very slow to move in, very tiring to move in. But anyway, keep you alive. Arctic tents, even to put up inside a building with no heating, you'd still want a tent inside, even if it was not an Arctic tent, an ordinary tent, something, you know, sleeping bags, two-person sleeping bags, batteries, well, they do have electricity to charge up a huge battery pack to then power you for 24 hours or something like that. Obviously, gas stoves, generators, you still need to get them oil or gas to power the generator. All these things can help them get through it. And obviously being connected to the European electric grid this year, so that these missile attacks be less effective. Could Ukraine have little wind turbines, solar panels, and lots of buildings so that, you know, if they're taken out from connection with the broader grid, they've still got enough electricity to keep going. But all this costs money, all this takes time. But Russia seems to be settled in, think this is going to last a long time. They think they have the staying power. They've obviously not broken Europe economically. Now, they've been quite lucky. Well, the Europeans have been quite lucky because obviously China had a semi-lockdown because of coronavirus. So oil and gas prices were not as high as they might have been. Moreover, it was a relatively mild winter, which we're now coming out of. There's no reason to think that concatenation of factors should be repeated this forthcoming winter. So that would really be painful. But anyway, it looks like inflation is coming down. That's why Rishi Sunak in the United Kingdom has promised to halve inflation. And he's only done that because he's quite confident it's going to happen anyway, that energy prices might come down. I mean, not that much. So Russia using the hydrocarbon weapon. I mean, next winter, if they're lucky, might be about as effective as it is this year. It causes economic pain, certainly, but not enough to break the European Union. But Western will is fraying. There's signs of this. You know, you look at Republicans in the USA, the beginning of the war, 80% of Republican voters said, yeah, let's arm Ukraine. Now that's about 50%. But, you know, of American public opinion, it's rather lower than that, might be 30%. But, you know, that could grow. That could tip the. And the interesting thing to see will be in the November 2024 election, what's going to happen? If Joe Biden said we're going to be four square behind Ukraine, is the Republican going to match him on that, support his position? The Republican candidate, probably Ron DeSantis, might say, no, we have to force Ukraine to negotiate. Let's de-escalate this conflict. Let's get cheaper oil and gas prices from Russia or something like that. I don't know which is where it's going to go. It'll all be about electoral calculation from them. Anyway, so, you know, Russia's had significant losses, but the Ukraine's had painful losses as well. I think there's a danger of excessive optimism on behalf of pro-Ukrainian people. Now, Russia's obviously called up people, and it's got people from prison to volunteer for Wagner private military company, run by Yevgeny Prigozhin, Putin's fellow St. Petersburger, and his so-called Putin's chef. But and he promised them that they would be pardoned if they served 6 months in Ukraine, and some of them have already been pardoned. Anyway, that shows they're really trying to ramp up their attack. And the Russian defense minister said they're working around the clock in military manufacturing to produce munitions. So Bakhmut appears to be the fulcrum of the war, and Yevgeny Prigozhin, he says that there is it's like a fortress, and there's line after line of Ukrainian defense is very, very difficult to break through as Russian casualties are mounting. And that appears to be the fulcrum of the war. It's perplexing that the Russians would invest this place with such importance. Why is it so vital, a city? There's a crossroads. I mean, the roads can be blown up anyway. Some vehicles can go across country anyway. I suppose they feel they need a victory. And they've been fighting there for about 7 months. That was really only intensified in the last month, but that has become the key battle for the moment. And the Ukrainians don't want to give ground. If they have to give it away, make the Russians pay a very high price for it, so that it just wasn't worth it. Anyway, so thank you so much for watching my channel. And please, please subscribe to me on Patreon, donate to me on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Thanks for the donation today. I won't say who it was. So these pro-Kremlin bloggers, they are castigating generals, but not Putin himself. They dare not, even though ultimately he's responsible. Okay, goodbye.